preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing our study of the roles of Christian men and women and what has happened to us, the attacks that have happened by the devil himself. And yesterday we left off studying what the woman has been exposed to, what her struggle is, what the fall has brought about. And you couldn't look at that. You can't understand this without going back to the fall when the devil tempted her, that when she would eat of the fruit, she would be as God herself, knowing good from evil, and that it would make her wise. Wise to what? Well, the idea was presented to Eve that she could break away from the chains that God had placed her in as somebody under the man and as a helper comparable to the man. Let me summarize. Eve, you really don't have to be in the position you're in. You're under this God who's defined things for you. You really are blind to be all that you really could be. You're really being held back, Eve. You could be so much more. You could be as God, knowing good from evil. You can define that on your own terms. Has God really said, don't eat of the tree? Has he said that? Oh, he knows that if you just take of the apple, you will be free. You will be liberated from the oppressive design you're in. And so we looked at that yesterday. This is ultimately what's happened, is that God came down and in the curse, he multiplied her sorrow and conception. But then he said, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's the same construction when he came down with Cain after he had been confronted with his sin by killing Abel. Sin's desire is for you, Cain, but you should rule over it. So put this together. The whole marital relationship is marked by a kind of war of the sexes, that the woman's innate struggle is to overcome the headship of her husband. And that in history, his response has been a domineering, harsh rule over him due to the conflict. And this is why the Apostle Paul had to come back and root it in creation and say, both of the approaches are wrong, and it's not a cultural problem, which is what churches do with this today. He says in 1 Timothy, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And then he roots it right in creation, just to throw out anyone who would say, well, that was just culturally Paul, who was a chauvinist for the time. No, no. For Adam was formed first, he says, then Eve. So let me define that. No, we're not talking about a cultural norm. We're talking about how God made it at the beginning, transcends culture. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. In other words, the woman left her place, and buying into the lie of the devil that she could be her own God, she broke free from God's design, and she suffered ever since. The Lord is saying that the way of a woman's return will be evidenced in her bearing fruit with the kind of submissive life that God has designed for her, in childbearing and nurturing her family in the beautiful fruits of righteousness. So see the struggle. Man won't lead, and the woman is trying desperately to usurp the authority of the man. I would argue, dear listener, that there is no time in history when we have seen the wholesale abandonment of the biblical design and the acceptance of that in the church and the world than in the last 40 years. In fact, I believe this is so radically important for us to understand how the whole cultural shift has affected you listening today in a radical way. I hope you're open to what I'm about to say. It's going to sound radical, but we've got to consider things as God has defined them. I was reading not too long ago Mary Cassian's book called The Feminist Mistake. It's a must read on the subject. I would encourage you to get it. What makes that book so interesting to me is that she makes the case that feminism is no longer a movement. If I asked today every woman listener to Abounding Grace, "Are you a feminist?" you would cringe. Cassian makes the case that feminism is no longer properly even considered a movement. It arose out of the 1960s, but now it's become the accepted norm of our society. In other words, you're all feminists. We've all bought in to the ideology of feminism. Cassian makes the case that in 1963, Betty Friedan wrote a book called The Feminine Mystique, which really launched the modern feminist movement and was really taking the ideas of de Beauvoir, who was a French author. And in that book, it was premised on the idea that, now think about this, think of Eve in the garden. It was premised on the idea that women were trapped in the structures that a male-dominated society had pushed on them. And the only reason we have kind of a Leave It to Beaver era was because after the war, there was a boom of technology where the women, and you had all the mass media coming out and televisions, where all this advertisement was pushing the woman back in the home because now she had all these new inventions. They weren't making bombs anymore. They were making washing machines and mixers and vacuums. And so for a brief time, it became socially desirable for the woman to stay home. But it was short-lived. She was restless in that role. And so Friedan spoke of women being treated as a second-rate sex. And the problem is that men are in charge with their oppressive structures. Her idea called for women to lead a collective rebellion, providing a whole new redefinition of womanhood and motherhood. Her thesis, now listen to the devil in the garden here. Has God said, here's Friedan, "We women need and can trust no other authority than our own personal truth"? I hear the devil speaking in that. That's exactly what he tempted Eve with. Did God really say, "You can be your own God"? You define it, Eve. This idea launched a collective women's movement called feminism, in which women began to have groups throughout the 1970s called consciousness-raising groups, where they would get their friends together and they would have great talks and they would speak bitterness, as they said, to reveal bitterness, speak pain to reveal pain. They would get together and they would talk about how evil men are and how these structures are so oppressive and how bad their husbands were, and they didn't have to put up with this. And sadly, this goes on today in the church too, where women will get together and do these kind of things. "I've got a rotten husband. I don't need to put up with this. I'm done." This became mainstream thought that women needed to be freed from what was called a patriarchal society, a fatherhood that pushed chauvinist ideals and held women back as second-rate citizens. And the only way to break it was to destroy male superiority by refusing to accept the traditional male model. And so the ideal of feminism won the day. The right of women, they said, to self-define, think of the garden, and the problem of a patriarchal dominated culture has got to go. Society does not permit women to be all that they can be. They're empty in the home. They're empty in these male dominated and defined roles that hold them back. Listen, we're all affected by the ideals of feminism. It's in our thought. You know, many of you know that these ideas were bought hook, line, and sinker into mainline liberal denominations. One I grew up in, the Christian Reformed Church, adopted this thinking hook, line, and sinker. You know, and think about it. The whole ordination of women to the office of pastor was not even an issue before 1970 in many of these churches. It became mainstream in the aftermath of the feminist movement, like a giant tidal wave, and the church became ingrained, this thinking became ingrained into the church's thought. The churches, by and large today, have one argument on this. that Christianity, think about it, now think of feminism, has incorporated the dominant patriarchal attitude of the culture of its origin. In other words, it's a cultural problem. But for today's woman, there's no basis in 2012, whatever year we are, in our modern times, there is no basis for barring women from ordained ministry positions or for supporting a hierarchical structured role in marriage. Get rid of all roles. And this is out of many mainline writers, even reformed writers, on gender roles. Women should be able to do everything that men can do. Women need liberation in the church. So this is the devil, and he is right out of the garden saying, has God said, has God defined this? You can get out. It's interesting to me that a younger generation has come up that sees it's not working. They look at their boomer parents, and baby boomers, you got to think about things here. Your kids aren't seeing it the way you are. Think about it. Before 1960, most women desired to have children. They valued family and chastity. Things like abortion, wedlock, extramarital affairs were not just in the daily fabric of society. Do you know that for the first time today, women outnumber men in the workforce today? Before 1960, no birth control pill, abortion was illegal. 70% in 1970s believed that it was wrong for a woman and a man to have sex before marriage. Do you know that 80 to 90% of all women today are sexually active before marriage? Average of four partners in their lifetime. Before 1960, there were no cohabitation stats. They didn't even keep it. It was so far off the charts. Today, 44% cohabit before marriage. Marriage is dying altogether. And it's rising up to half of the people who believe that marriage is now obsolete, fulfilling Paul's warning that right before Christ comes, people will refuse to marry. 41% of children born in the U.S. are born to single moms, most out of wedlock. And because of divorce rates, over half of all children in the U.S. don't live with their biological parents. This was barely any in the 70s. Less than one-third of children have a stay-at-home mom. The crazy thing, dear listener, this stuff is only 40 to 50 years old. You're living in the aftermath of the greatest satanic attack on the family the world has ever known. And our societies are totally crumbling for it. The church has adopted the model and everything is a mess. You know, so you got to say, if you react against what I say today, have you thought about what you're presenting to society in buying into this mentality? You think this is working? Really? It's time to wake up and go back to God's design. To draw out of us, as the Lord desires, sincere repentance and faith, looking to Christ and to realize that in Him there's freedom. These roles that He has defined are not bondage. They're beautiful. They're free. A woman can be now who she is, and she doesn't have to worry about the society pushing on her a model that will corrupt her and make her something that God has not designed for her. God has laid all this out. Men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Women are to submit as unto the Lord. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. If we begin to follow God's norm and not our cultural norms, we're going to begin to see the restructuring and the benefit to the society as a whole. Let us come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will restore our marriages to what they should be. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.org is the website. So grateful you tuned in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.